Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hi and welcome to this week's episode. Today I'm joined by Audrey Hulst, who helps people recover from burnout by helping them connect their bodies and mind, combining over a decade of experience teaching yoga and mindfulness with extensive training. She also works as a certified professional coach, teaches her clients how to tap into their natural resilience and agility so that they can handle whatever comes their way. Hey, Audrey.
Hi, Ebony. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. You're my kind of person. I love people who do this kind of work in the world. It's so, so important.
Oh, I like hearing that. Thanks for that.
It is. It's hugely important work. You know, we live in a society where we all play what I call burnout top trumps, where we're like, my day was worse. I hustled harder. I burnt myself out more. It's like, really? Why? Why are we competing for this prize? It's not a good prize.
Totally. I totally agree. And there's a thing that has happened now that I've been more vocal about this sort of work. I'm actually the person where people start sending texts and emails of like pictures of them relaxing with their feet up, or like, I just booked a massage for myself, or like, I was going to work an extra 2 hours, but I decided to go for a walk instead. Like, people are now starting to brag about their self-care to me. And it's like, it's so like, I get chills talking about it because I'm like, that's the sort of stuff that I want people to feel supported and excited about, not the hustle culture, which is so toxic and awful. But like that, yeah, like, let's support each other in feeling good. that's like sort of a much better place to be.
I love that. We should add it. So we're doing this thing where we are on Instagram using adulting, the hashtag adulting win and the hashtag adulting fail, and sharing both. And so if you have been for a massage, if you've got your feet up, if you've taken a whole week off and just done nothing except hang out with your lover, like, tell us.
And hashtag, oh my gosh. Sounds luxurious. Yes, please inspire us. Cause I'm like, wow, a week off with just like hanging out with my lover. That sounds awesome. Maybe I'll do that.
I'm on a thing right now. So let's scroll back. What does adulting or being an adult mean for you?
So I've been thinking about this question, and I just want to share this little story that popped into my head. When I was little, I remember being terrified of becoming an adult, because I was like, how am I going to know how to be an adult? Like, how am I going to know how to like put money in a bank or like get a job? Like, all of these things in my head that was like what being an adult was. I was like, this is like me as like a 5-year-old waking up in the night, like in a cold sweat, not knowing like how I'm going to adult. And now that I'm supposedly an adult, I'll put that in quotes, I think what it means to adult is how one perceives or handles discomfort. I think that to me is like the root of what it is to be an adult.
I love that angle. I really love that angle, because so on our 100th episode, which we have coming up, we've got Jo Westwood, who is someone I really support. She works around codependency, does a lot. She has a program called Lovingly Fierce, which I'm an affiliate for. And we were talking about exactly that, right? It's like, as a child, if you had a healthy, happy childhood, which not everyone does, but if you did, your needs, like someone kind of ferried around after you and met your needs. And every time you were in discomfort, they normally saw the discomfort coming and they were like, you're hungry or you're tired or you're whatever. And they met those needs and avoided you being in discomfort as much as they could, right? Like, if it was a good setup for you. And then there becomes a time where we have to do that stuff for ourselves, or we get to do that stuff for ourselves, and it's challenging. It can be challenging.
100%. Your listeners can't obviously see this, but I'm just like nodding my head with everything you just said. Yeah. And it's this thing that we don't talk about the thing that is underneath all of our experiences as humans is bodily, right? Like bodily comfort or discomfort, like how our nervous system interprets the world around us and how we receive it. And it's like, so just what you're describing, that ability to, and of course, as we're like, when we're kids, it's, you know, we either get used to that or we don't get used to that. So then it's like, okay, if I feel physical discomfort, physical constriction, physical tightness, something that I would interpret as nervousness, my interpretation is that's, there's something wrong there, right? There's something wrong there, as opposed to being like, oh, identifying, oh, this sensation probably means X, and either I can deal with it or can't deal with it, et cetera. But it's like it's how we experience the world, right? We're tactile. We're moving through the world in bodies.
That's so cool. And because what is really important about that for me is the meaning that we give things, right? Like the meaning that we give the sensation that we're receiving, and we get to change that. So we can change the meaning, and that's really cool.
Totally. Totally. And I think that a lot of, I think that my operating mode for a long time was interpreting that discomfort as something wrong with me, and then like trying to fix it, like mm-hmm. trying to do something to like make it less or make it better or like manage it, as opposed to having the understanding that it's a natural thing that happens in the body and that we can actually ride waves of stuff. Like everything is temporary. Like it goes in waves. Like even if something gets triggered in us, I think the natural timing of stuff is like 90 seconds, right? It takes us like 90 seconds to go through that wave if we're able to ride it and not hold onto it. Mm-hmm. So that like understanding of how things in the body are temporary and like our thoughts become our realities in our bodies and that sort of stuff is super valuable. And like, I wish it was something that came with like an operating manual with being human. Like why this is so important to understand. Like, why is nobody talking about this when we're little, you know, or like anytime, even as adults?
Well, and so for me, here's the thing, like, that's what good parenting is in my eyes, like a parent who sees you in discomfort and instead of trying to fix it or telling you there's something wrong with you or trying to hurry you up or get you to whatever the drivers are that we receive as kids, instead they're like, cool, you're feeling discomfort. How awesome your body works. This is really exciting for you. And like, you know, it will change and shift. Let's watch it. What does it feel like now? And now, like, that's really cool parenting as far as I'm concerned. And once you're an actual adult, you get to parent yourself in that way.
100%. And I love, as you were talking about that good parenting thing, I got that like thrill in my chest. Like, oh my gosh, that's right. Like people are parenting like that now. Like, I don't think that was common even, you know, when I was growing up, that was, I don't think we even had that. We could even talk about that sort of stuff. It wasn't even on the radar, but now it is becoming more of a normal conversation, which is so thrilling to know that there are kids right now that are being raised like that, who are going to be growing up into adults with different perspectives on themselves in the world, which is freaking awesome. It gives me hope for the future when sometimes it feels really bleak.
Yeah, we're roughly the same age, and I was talking about this with someone recently. We're the divorce generation. Like, it hadn't happened before, that a whole generation of divorce. And like, even if your parents aren't, there's this thing that was systemic in our culture in the water at the time, and like that's affected our generation and has led to a huge amount of codependency, actually. And I think that that's really interesting to now look at it and go, okay, well, now we've got also, you know, from that codependency, we've got a huge amount of people who are listening to this podcast and working with you and doing all the kind of the right things, who are really interested in healing, who are really interested in showing up and being kick-ass and kind and a responsible one, fun, you know, having all of those things. And they are parenting in a very different way. And what's that going to look like in 25 years time? Like, who are we going to be surrounded by then? For me, that's just the most exciting thing.
Absolutely. And it's, even if you take like the zoom out view of what that does to lineages and what that does to like, when we think about our ancestors and like what we've actually genetically inherited from our ancestors, like if you think about epigenetics and all that sort of mm-hmm. stuff that we actually start to, you know, have genetically, our bodies kind of take in previous generations' experiences in some ways, thinking about what that means for our generations going forward, And what that means for our family lines and our lineages is pretty powerful work when you think about it, where it goes beyond just an individual's experience and where it goes forward and where it actually honors and heals, you know, going back in time too.
Yeah, we're going to just spend, you guys listening can't hear, no, can't see us nodding at each other furiously as we're going, yes, I agree. This is really lovely. I love it when stuff like this happens, when the podcast connects me with people like you who share, I guess, an ethos and a way of thinking around this. If there's anybody listening and they're like, this all sounds lovely, but discomfort is horrible and I hate it, because I spend a lot of time with my clients going, you just need to get more comfortable with being uncomfortable, I'm afraid. Right? Got any wisdom on how you become more comfortable with being uncomfortable?
Yeah. My biggest advice is there's two pieces. One is to just be slow and gentle, because I think that there is a narrative around discomfort and fear that's very aggressive, like feel the fear and do it anyway and like get in there. Nah. It's very like bro. I'm just gonna use that term because it feels like that. And I don't think that's helpful. Right. I think that can actually sort of, for people who've had trauma in their past and stuff, that actually can be like re-traumatizing or actually can really tank somebody's confidence even more. I know for myself that if I try to dive too deep into that sort of stuff, it takes me out. Like I'm actually out. I can't function. I feel worse about myself. It's like building up a muscle and getting just stronger. It's like, if you're going to do a push-up, you're not going to go do 50 push-ups in one day. Mm. It's like dip your toes in the water, start doing things that make you feel a little bit uncomfortable and then realize you didn't die, and then like keep building those muscles and have practices that allow you to like, I think the other thing is like, what's your environment? Like if you have a coach, if you have a therapist, if you have really amazing people in your life, if you can trust the people what you're with, you're going to be able to be more comfortable having uncomfortable experiences with them, because you're going to trust that you're not going to get dropped, that people aren't going to leave you, that you're not, you know, like that sort of stuff is really important. I think for people who need that, I think coaching is friggin' amazing, because it allows them to sort of put the training wheels on and try these things and realize like, okay, I trust this person. They say I'm not going to die. I kind of feel like I'm going to die, but I'm going to try it anyway. And that can really make a difference. Like when people go through the experience and they realize they're not going to die, even though it feels like in the moment I'm so uncomfortable, like I feel like my head's going to pop off, and then they realize, oh, I'm okay. That builds that confidence muscle to keep going.
And for me, that's important, because it's not having those skills that lead us to burnout. Mm-hmm. What would you say the most common, like, with all the people that you've worked with who are recovering from burnout and they've kind of come to you and they're like, ah, you know, they're ready to drink up all the things. They're ready to like look at mindfulness and yoga and work with a coach and do all of that stuff. What's the common thread that you see running between all of them?
The common thread for the most part is people's perceptions of how they think they need to show up or how they think they need to work in order to be seen as, and this isn't like a 9-to-5 environment. I'm speaking specifically right now, how they need to show up, what their perceptions are to be seen as like a quote unquote good employee.
Yeah.
And I think in the entrepreneurial, solopreneurial world, it's a very similar thing, where there's this expectation that I need to show up in a certain way. I need to work a certain way. I have to have a certain embodied like experience of busy or like I'm doing something in order to have like quote unquote done enough work or done it right or like be acceptable for what I've done today. Some version of that. Does that make sense? That was a little bit convoluted, but.
No, it absolutely does. And the reason for me asking you that, it's like underneath all of that is like, it comes from a place of, I don't trust that I'm enough. I don't trust that I know what is needed of me. I don't trust that, you know, there are things that I should do. There's all of this stuff outside of myself, and I don't trust other people, and I don't trust myself. And it's uncomfortable to have a boundary and to have a no. And so that's why we're talking about developing your, I guess, your capacity for discomfort, so that, and your trust for yourself, so that you can say no, so that you can have a yes. Because you cannot have a yes, you cannot experience life fully until you've got a no. Does that make sense to you?
100%. And there's two things I would add to that. One is, it's really helpful to look back on, like, your past history with work in general, because I found that a lot of people have had in the past, like, toxic work environments. And especially for a lot of entrepreneurs who are like, well, screw that work life. Like, I'm going to become my own, you know, I'm going to become my own boss. But they're, again, their embodied experience and what their modeling has been crap. So, like, they don't think about, how am I going to do this differently? They just start doing, and they're not actually looking at that. Like, they haven't actually decided, like, looked at that. So, and I think that it's also important to understand that, because it's like, why am I beating myself up like this? And people start to, like, not be able to make sense of their behaviors. And it's like, oh, it makes total sense, because, like, this is where you came from, and you, like, just didn't know anything better. So that's just what you did.
Yeah, it happens a lot. It happens so many times. I often say people leave work, and being an employee, because they are done with it and being told what to do and all the rest of it. But they don't take the time out to really envision what that will be like. And they don't think outside of the box enough. So they end up leaving one job to go to two, where they become the boss and the employee, and they're working double the time, and they're calling it freedom, and it doesn't feel like freedom at all, and it's all very stressful, and you can very easily end up back in this place of burnout. Yep. Which is why I'm stressing this point of, like, of trust and, like, getting to know yourself better and getting more comfortable with being uncomfortable, because we get to change the whole system, the whole patterning, and show up in a different way.
Absolutely. And the other thing too is, like, there's this weird, it's like a reality check we need to have in relation to other people, because in reality, right, there are people that I've worked with who have been shamed by, like, other coworkers for, you know, coming in on time as opposed to 30 minutes early, right? So it's like realizing that this is, like, and admitting that this is a culture that, like, we're in. So we are individuals that have our own choices, and the culture is shitty, and, like, we're in the culture collectively. So I think it's also good for us as individuals to, like, make sure we're not contributing to that. Mm-hmm. Like, don't throw the passive aggressive comments at your coworker that you're actually jealous that they took a, you know, like, you, maybe you're jealous that they took a personal health day. Don't be throwing your shit on them, because, like, you got to take responsibility that maybe that's something you need to do, and, like, cheer that shit on, like, more of that. Like we said earlier, yeah, cheer on the people taking care of themselves.
Totally, totally agree. There's something you said before about bro culture and the kind of get up, go again, do it. Now, I have something, I'm going to say something that you might not love, but hear me out on it. I actually think there's a place for it, but I think there's a place for both. And some of us need, so that for me is your internal dad, right? That's your internal masculine. It's your internal championing, right? Like, you can do this, go again. You've got it. Stand up. Come on, go again. Like, if you missed, you know, if you're imagining yourself standing on some kind of sports field and you miss the ball, and your internal perfect idealized dad that you get to be for yourself, right? This masculine shows up and is championing you to get up and go again, versus your own internal idealistic mum or mother of feminine energy, which you, this is not about either of your parents, this is who you get to be for yourself, who's like, babe, let me just stroke your head, or, you know, come and have a cuddle, like, what you need is just to lie with me listening to this music in the sunshine, and, like, when you're ready, when you've calmed down, when your breath is regulated, then we'll get up, then we'll go again. And it depends on the situation and where you, what's going on and who you are, what your temperament is, as to which one of those you need in any given moment.
Oh, 100%. I know. I 100% agree with that. And I think that's the thing too. It's, everything is a both and, And we can get really polarized with like, well, this is the answer. No, this is the answer. And it's like, we're so nuanced. Human beings are so nuanced, and it's a both and, right? It's like the strength and the flexibility. It's the action and it's the sitting and thinking. It's the stillness, it's the movement, right? We need both and combinations of both for most of us to feel complete and feel satisfied and feel like juicy human beings. So I think that's another big part of the conversation is like, it's not an all or nothing conversation. It has to be nuanced. And I think we're really fucking bad at being nuanced. Like,
yeah, we've really tried to oversimplify it. We've tried to oversimplify humanity. And the truth is we're a universe within a universe within a universe. There's a universe existing in every single one of your cells and my cells. So the idea that we are linear, the idea that we are just masculine or we just like is energetic wise makes no sense at all. And it actually, the magic happens when we bring those two together. Like, we are the creator when we bring feminine energy and masculine energy together. And you know, the reason for feeling burnout, the reason for reaching that place of needing to recover in some way is often caused by, you know, it's a systemic thing because the patriarchy is real and we've all been living in it, and there isn't enough feminine and there isn't enough nurture. And so long term, it's not like you need to go lie on the sofa for the rest of your life, but you need to balance out the amount of patriarchy you've been receiving.
100%. Yeah, 100%. And you know, capitalism and, you know, white supremacy, there's a lot of shit that's really, you know, that there's some systems that, you know, a lot of us didn't know about it until other people started cluing us in on them. You know, that's, for me, it's been a long, holy shit, there are systems I had no idea existed. But when you start to see the systems, again, your own reality starts to make sense. Like, oh, so I'm just not fucked up. I'm actually working within a system that's kind of fucked up. Yeah. And it's not necessarily human-centric for everybody. So, okay, it makes more sense why things feel the way that they do. So, yeah, I just have to like tell your listeners that like every cell in my body is like, it's like so excited to be having these conversations, because I just feel like more people need to be having these sort of conversations. It's so important to like get out of the drudges of like what we think life is supposed to be.
So for me, that moment was like watching The Matrix. I have this weird thing now where a huge amount of my clients weren't a grown-up when The Matrix came out. And lots of them totally were, right? Okay, but there's just a small selection, and I'm having that thing where I'm like, what? How do you not know The Matrix? But The Matrix for me was that moment of realization that we exist. It's such an interesting film, because when you realize that you are living within a system and that none of it's real, you then have this choice to make, right? Like, it's kind of comfortable in the system. Like, I want to go live with, you know, and you don't need to make that decision straight away, and you can flip-flop back and forward for a little while. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, go and watch The Matrix.
Full disclosure, I finally watched The Matrix probably within the last year. So I can understand that reference, and I'm raising my hand as one of those people that I was real late to the party, but I'm really glad I got there.
Okay, so that's really interesting to me. We totally need to wrap up because I'm rambling, but has it stood the test of time? Like, did you enjoy it, or did it feel like a weird old film?
Oh no, it was awesome. I love that sort of, oh yeah, no, it totally, totally stands the test of time, 100%. Everybody go see it. Go see it and then listen to this episode again and like with a different context.
Yeah, tell us how you got on with it. I might get out and watch it again. Audrey, if people want to come and find out more about you and your work and just carry on this conversation with you, where's the best place for them to come?
So you can check out what I do with my work at my website, which is fortitudeandflow.com. And right now I spend most of my time on Instagram. I think it's the easiest, least overwhelming platform to deal with. So that's, you can find my handle at fortitudeandflow. As well.
Yeah, but we'll make sure everything's clickable, and yeah, come and share with both of us your adulting wins, your adulting fails, feedback, give us comments on what you've enjoyed from this conversation, any ahas you've had, that would be fantastic.
Totally.
or do you end with an I'm an adult but with me?
I am an adult, but I still don't trust myself most days. I still don't trust myself to be an adult most days.
I probably shouldn't, but I do. underneath it all, I reached a place now where I fundamentally trust myself, which is pretty cool. Adulting win.
Adulting win, for sure.
Yeah. However, I am an adult, but when I get into the flow of things and I'm really enjoying mostly my work, I totally forget to eat and hydrate, and it can quite easily get to like 5, 6 p.m. and I'm like, I need a wee and I haven't drunk any water. I'm actually really hungry. Where have I been all day?
And that right there is like curing burnout 101. Drink your water, people. Eat your food.
It's not every day. It's just, you know, when I'm in creation mode.
I understand. I get it.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.